From WIPR, I'm Sheila Cast. We're On the Record. Twice since 2016, Ellicott City's Main Street has been devastated by flooding. Though several businesses have reopened, some buildings remain boarded up and vacant. Howard County Executive Calvin Ball shares an update on redevelopment efforts. Then we meet two business owners. Sherry Fackler-Berkowitz of art glass studio Great Pains describes what it's like on the ground. And Julia Sanger of Park Ridge Trading Company tells us why she perseveres even with an uncertain future.
There's something about the town and there's something about the community that I think gets into your blood, and you want to continue to be a part of it, and you want to see it survive, and you want to see it thrive.
It's On the Record after the news.
You're listening to On the Record, the podcast, a service of your public radio, 88.1 WYPR. Find more podcasts online at wypr.org. And tell us what you think. Send an email to ontherecord@wypr.org.
Good morning. I'm Jamila Krempel in for Sheila Cast. We're On the Record. In May 2018, Ellicott City experienced its second historic flood in 2 years. The nearby Patapsco River swelled to over 27 feet, more than double its normal level. That caused flash flooding in the historic mill town west of Baltimore. For the second time since 2016, buildings were destroyed, personal possessions were swept away, and a life was lost. Most of the evidence of the flood has receded. Main Street shops and restaurants have reopened, visitors stroll about, but the plywood-covered windows and spray-painted markers on several once-charming properties are a reminder that the work to rebuild the historic district is not complete. What's happening with post-flood redevelopment in Ellicott City? Is the area better equipped to withstand another flood? Joining me now to answer some of those questions is Howard County Executive Calvin Ball, elected to the position last November. He has inherited the challenge of lifting Ellicott City back to its feet. County Executive Ball, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
So in August of 2018, former County Executive Alan Kittleman proposed a $50 million plan for the county to acquire 10 buildings along Lower Main Street. Your multi-point plan called Ellicott City Safe and Sound also includes purchasing the buildings. We talked to a property owner the other day who said that their property has been purchased by the county. Can you give us a status update on how many buildings have, or how many properties have been purchased by the county so far?
Well, public safety will always be my number one priority when it comes to Ellicott City and, frankly, all of Howard County. And as I promised, we will continue to move forward with acquiring those flood-damaged properties and have already, frankly, had some success with some of those acquisitions. We're in the process of evaluating the best use for those buildings that we've acquired to ensure that they contribute to the safety and economic vitality of Ellicott City.
Do you have a deadline for wrapping up the acquisition process?
Well, as you know, with any kind of negotiations and acquisition process, it's going to depend upon the property owners and having those conversations and making sure that, you know, I protect and respect the taxpayer dollar while keeping safety a priority.
Under the previous plan, the 10 buildings were to be demolished to create a wider channel for the nearby Tiber River. What's your goal for those properties?
My hope is that we can have options where we not only move forward with those flood mitigation projects, but we preserve more of Ellicott City's historic charm and reduce the level of flooding on Main Street.
Is there funding to support business owners whose stores were closed for an extended period of time over the past year?
One of the things that I've been doing is working with our Economic Development Authority to have sort of an ombudsman who will work with those Ellicott City businesses and make sure that our economic vitality not only comes back, but comes back stronger than ever.
And is that ombudsman, are they seated now or has the name been announced?
We're going to be announcing and introducing someone to the community very shortly.
Within the EC Safe and Sound plan is a flood mitigation assistance program that provides grants to property owners. Tell us a little bit more about that.
So that's a matching grant for property owners to make sure that we help them move forward with those flood mitigation projects and, you know, make them as effective as possible. Sometimes just having a little bit more help makes it so that, you know, it can be effective. You know, some of the examples of eligible projects are like flood doors, sealant, a relocation of HVAC units, shield, and even drainage systems.
That's Howard County Executive Calvin Ball. We're talking about redevelopment in Ellicott City after the May 2018 flood. This is On the Record on WYPR. I'm Jamila Crumple, in for Sheila Cast. Your administration is doing more frequent waterway cleanups and inspections. What should listeners know about these efforts and how they help prepare for another severe weather incident?
Well, part of our Safe and Sound plan was to enhance inspection and debris removal of the 9 waterways. You know, previously, before I took office, we were only clearing the waterways about quarterly, whereas now, when there is a severe weather event, we will go in and evaluate whether or not there is debris collected in those waterways, because oftentimes what happens that actually exacerbates the flooding is, over time, debris just continuing to collect. And frankly, just recently when we had a severe wind event, it actually triggered an enhanced inspection under our new plan, and we were able to pull out 3,850 pounds of debris out of those waterways in Ellicott City.
And sort of on that topic of what could also exacerbate flooding damage, what about the environmental impact that new upstream development has on the historic district? I know there's concerns about things like stormwater runoff.
Yeah, we are definitely looking at that. As a council member, one of the things that I did was I voted for legislation for a development moratorium so that we can evaluate better ways of not having overdevelopment. And I actually have filed legislation to ensure that we have the right of entry onto private property. Because oftentimes what happens is when you want to get onto private property for an emergency, some of those things need to be negotiated on a case-by-case basis, which might take an extended period of time.
The 2016 flood was supposed to be our one-in-a-thousand-year flood. I'm sure you've heard that said before. But then, of course, we had another one in 2018. Is Ellicott City prepared for a potential future flood, in your opinion?
Well, I think what we're seeing, frankly, is that due to an increase in the frequency and the intensity of storms, not just Ellicott City, but throughout Howard County, throughout Maryland, and throughout our country, we need to be taking these weather events much more seriously. And so we have sirens that are going to develop clear guidance on what to do if flash flooding happens. This is part of our emergency alert system. We're going to be having message boards that we can offer messages in a pinch to people. I mean, just one of the things that we were working on was an emergency notification system where there was, before I took office, no allocation, no funding toward just purchasing some devices so that people could have an advanced notification.
Ellicott City business and property owner Julia Sanger, who we'll hear from in the next segment, wrote a letter to the Baltimore Sun, and in it she criticized you for not making enough progress, saying that, quote, extensive work already done is being ignored in favor of County Executive Ball's preference to restudy or rebrand, close quote. What do you say to business owners and residents who are growing impatient with progress?
I definitely understand frustration. And that's one of the reasons why, within my first 30 days of office, we had the Safe and Sound plan. We're moving forward deliberately with a sense of urgency on upstream projects. And we, at this point, no matter who was county executive, no more work would have been done in the first 100 days of this administration. We have been working very hard and engaging all of our partners to ensure that not only do we respect the taxpayer dollar, but we hold public safety and resiliency of Ellicott City in a high priority. And all of the upstream projects are moving forward as scheduled.
EC Safe and Sound is in phase one. What's in phase two?
Phase two we will be releasing in the coming weeks. And one of the things that I really wanted us to do was to have a more inclusive process where we would engage the community. So not only will we be having a draft plan released soon, but we're going to have a public meeting and invite the public to actually comment as we solidify that plan.
County Executive, thank you.
Thank you.
Howard County Executive Calvin Ball. We've been talking about post-flood redevelopment and flood prevention in Ellicott City. After the break, two business owners tell us about their efforts to rebuild after the May 2018 flood. I'm Jamila Krumpel, and for Sheila Cast, stay with us.
This is the On the Record podcast, a service of Your Public Radio, member-supported 88.1 WYPR. You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WYPR. Become a member. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.
Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Jamila Krumpel and for Sheila Cast. We're talking about the restoration efforts in Ellicott City after the devastating flood of May 2018. Tens of thousands of dollars have gone into the restoration of destroyed property and businesses. Earlier, we heard from County Executive Calvin Ball. Joining me now are two business owners who have picked up the pieces and reopened their businesses. Sherry Fackler-Berkowitz is co-owner of Great Pains, an art glass studio that's been on Ellicott City's Main Street for 40 years. Sherry, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Also with us is Julia Sanger, co-owner of Park Ridge Trading Company, a gourmet food shop also located on Main Street. Julia, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Julia, you opened your store in May 2016, and within 2 years, there were two floods. What damages were there?
The first flood, we had 6 feet of water, and second flood, we had 8. So both times, everything was completely gone.
And you reopened your business after the 2016 flood and then again after the 2018 flood. Tell us, how did you come to make those decisions to reopen, especially after the second time?
I think the first time was easy. The first time there was very much a sense within the town of, we're going to come back, we're going to be bigger and better than ever. A lot of EC Strong, hoorah. There was a lot of a lot of support surrounding it. After 2018, it was definitely a much more difficult decision. And we did some soul searching and came to the conclusion that there were so many people on the street who weren't able to come back, whether it was because their buildings were destroyed or their emotions were destroyed or financially they were ruined. That we felt like we almost had a responsibility to the town because we could come back, that if we wanted to see Ellicott City have any future, then we needed to be one of the ones to help lead that charge.
And Sherry, you weren't able to reopen your store to its sort of normal functioning capacity. Tell us why and what the last year has been like.
Well, in 2016, we did reopen after the flood of 2016.
Okay.
We did reopen. We invested a lot of money. We had 7.5 feet of water. I had my back tenant was stuck up in her apartment through the flood. She rescued 3 people out of the park alongside of us. 2018, it was just overwhelming. We just knew that we couldn't come back. We had 8 foot of water. We lost things that we never thought we would ever lose. I mean, we had 2 glass crates that weigh several hundred pounds were ripped off the wall and went down the river. Everything inside was totally gone this time, as wasn't quite like that in 2016. And we just didn't want to come back. We also had a tenant in the front in 2018 who had a business, a woman my age. And when the flood hit, We literally watched her walk across the bridge on the other side of my building, which was terrifying to us, with the fear that anything could have come down the river and hit her, knowing
in
what left the building.
Neck deep water.
Yes. Yeah. And she was pretty much piggybacked on the back of her employee, making it to the back deck. I think my husband and I at that point made the decision we just couldn't go back. The thought of having a life lost, even though, you know, we wouldn't have been responsible, is something that you have to live with every day. And that was a big decision for us to say that we just couldn't do business there anymore.
I bet that was really difficult. For both of you, what kind of funding did you receive, were you able to tap into to help you get back on your feet?
Well, in 2016, we got a $50,000 interest-free from the state loan, which was, I think, very helpful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We didn't have insurance at the time because we were having a dispute with the premiums, and it just happened to be a three-month window that they were re-quoting us, and so we did not have insurance at that time. Made it more difficult to get back up and running, so we used a lot of our personal income and took out loans, things that we hadn't had for years. 2018, we did have insurance, so that helped. The partnership raised some money both times.
And the Ellicott City
money from
Partnership.
Mm-hmm, Ellicott okay. City Partnership. So we did get money from them. And there was a community action group this time that kind of took it over.
And Julia, how about you?
The same for us. We had learned some valuable lessons about checking our insurance policies after 2016. So 2018, we did have insurance. Most of those flood policies have pretty hefty deductibles. So, you know, the interest-free loans, the fundraising, the donations, all of that definitely helps. But it never seems to be enough. And I know that sounds selfish because we're absolutely grateful for every dollar that that people contributed, but there's always more. There's always something else that costs money.
That was Julia Sanger, co-owner of Park Ridge Trading Company, a gourmet food shop located on Main Street in Ellicott City, and Sherry Fackler Berkowitz, co-owner of Great Pains, an art glass studio on Ellicott City's Main Street as well. We're talking about the May 2018 flood and the impact it had on businesses. This is On the Record on WYPR. I'm Jamila Krempel in for Sheila Cast. Sherry, you decided to sell your property and relocate your business. What led you to make that decision?
You know, the first time, as Julia said, we thought, well, it was a fluke. Everybody was, we're going to get up, we're going to get running, we're going to make it happen. With the other one hitting so close, I think we just decided financially we couldn't go through it again,
mm-hmm.
you know. At our age, because we are up there in years, to restart for a second time from scratch was just too overwhelming. And yet, we love what we do, so we do want to stay involved in the work.
And your property was one of the 10 buildings that the previous county executive, Alan Kittleman, planned for the county to purchase. What will happen with those isn't yet clear. Do you have any insight on that?
I don't. I do think that Alan Kittleman's plan was a very good plan. We got a lot of resistance from outside people about tearing their buildings down that had no investment in town financially or even owned businesses there. I think Alan's idea was a good idea. It would make the other buildings across the street, where Julia's is, that are truly historic buildings, that would help them should the waters rise again. It seems to me that we're wasting a lot of time and money on talking about up, down, up, down. Had they taken them down and put in a nice park like that was proposed, a lot of like what they have in Frederick, I think even the people who were not happy about the buildings coming down would still come into town to enjoy the park, to see what was happening, and that would bring people back. I feel after 2018, the worst thing that I see in town is that people are not coming back. You know, there's a core group of people that have always supported Ellicott City and always will, But as a business owner, after two floods, you need more than that. You need a lot of people coming in.
And Julia, you have a bird's eye view of those vacant buildings along the lower end of Main Street. Your business is directly across the street from them. Do you think the presence of those buildings is having an impact on business in Ellicott City?
Oh, absolutely. I think there's this notion in the community and in the outside area that there's been progress and that things have changed and that the town is back on its feet. And to a large measure, that's true. However, you walk down to Lower Main Street and it doesn't look any different than it did 6 months ago, 10 months ago, short of having the debris on the sidewalks cleaned up, but the buildings themselves aren't any different. And, you know, if I didn't know anything about the town and I came in and looked around, frankly, it looks a little bit like a war zone.
In February, Julia, you wrote a letter published in The Sun, in it you criticized County Executive Ball for not taking enough action to address redevelopment in Ellicott City. What would you like to see?
I'd like to see something, anything, frankly. I'm with Sherry and with a number of the other business owners on the street in that, you know, Alan Kittleman's plan was... it was controversial and it was bold and a lot of people fought against it, but it was necessary. And my biggest concern right now is that there isn't a plan. This notion of studying and restudying data that's already been studied is just not, frankly, it's just not acceptable to me. If they want to entertain the idea of tunnels, then say that, study that, or review the study of that, and recognize that that's been dismissed by the experts, and let's move on. So what are you going to do? Because every day I drive down the street and I see the same empty buildings just sitting there, and to me, they are ticking time bombs.
What do you mean by that?
I mean, the thing that a lot of people, I think, have misconceptions about is the way that the flood happens and the way that the water flows is that it builds up behind those buildings. And I think they had said Kaplan's had something like 21, 22 feet of water behind it. Mm. At some point, the pressure gets so big that it just basically explodes through the building, punches through the building, shoots everything that's inside those buildings across and down the street. And then you've just got this massive tidal wave of debris, which shoots right across the street at the line of buildings on our side of the street. And to me, having those buildings just sitting there in the shape that they're in seems unsafe, frankly. Well, and I think the idea of having a website as a public communication method, it's fantastic. I think if you want to line sirens up and down the street to alert people, okay. Frankly, nobody's going to be down on Main Street if it's pouring rain anyway. But to me, these are distractors, time wasters, frankly. Look at what we've done. We've bought some sirens and built a website. And to me, I look at those buildings and think, but you haven't done anything.
Talking about rebuilding Ellicott City and adding more to the town, Julia, you're opening a new store, right?
I am. I suppose it's not a new store. We've taken over a business that was there before. It's an ice cream shop that is in Tongue Row right off of Lot D.
And it's on Main Street.
On Main Street, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Many people I've talked to fear another storm. What makes you take the chance?
I ask myself that a lot. I think on any given day, I probably think that that we're slightly crazy. But there's something about the town and there's something about the community that I think gets into your blood. And
you want to continue to be a part of it. You want to see it survive and you want to see it thrive, and you're proud of being a part of it. There's obviously something, there's also always a certain level of pride in owning your own business and everything like that. But I think there's something very distinctly unique about Main Street and Ellicott City and the people down there and the people it attracts and all of that. And that's something that, you know, once you get the taste of it, you don't want to go away.
Well, thank you both so much. We really appreciate hearing from you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Julia Sanger, co-owner of Park Ridge Trading Company, a gourmet food shop located on Main Street in Ellicott City, and Sherry Fackler-Berkowitz, co-owner of Great Pains, an art glass studio also on Main Street. We've been talking about redevelopment efforts in Ellicott City. You can see pictures of Ellicott City's Main Street and find more information about redevelopment efforts at the On the Record page at wypr.org. This is On the Record. I'm Jamila Krempel, in for Sheila Cast. Thanks for listening. Join us again tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.